I have been taught by life that really I'm not in as much control as I thought. There are many things I do have control over, but, you know, infertility and then our relocation that didn't go according to plan has taught me to also just be open to new possibilities that I didn't even think of. I can plan away, but some of the greatest things that have happened in my life had never been part of the plan. This is Heart of the Story, and I'm Nadine Kenny Johnstone. I'm a writer and a writing coach who helps women develop and publish their memoirs and essays. But most importantly, I'm a human who's always trying to figure out what my soul is saying. Each week, I'll share stories and tips of healing, hope, and following my heart so that you'll feel inspired to follow yours. So in my last episode, I talked a lot about the positive impact that travel has had in my life. And speaking of travel, our retreats for next summer are now open for enrollment. I'm so excited. We have one coming up in Door County, Wisconsin over Memorial Day weekend. We have another in Camden, Maine in early August. These are multi-day retreats for women. Oh my gosh, we're going to have great food, writing time, meditating, exploring the local area. It's going to be fabulous, and I am offering some deals for the holiday. So right now we have a Cyber Monday sale going on. You'll want to take advantage of that because it ends tomorrow evening, November 29th evening. If you want to get in on the sales, then you should go to my website, NadineKennyJohnstone.com. You'll see a place where you can enter your email and download the holiday guide, which will give you a discount on annual membership for my writer workout community, also a discount on Publish the Personal, my super popular six-week personal essay class, and a 10% discount on our summer retreats. These are the best deals of the year that we're going to have, so you'll want to take advantage. So speaking of traveling, in the last episode, I talked about the importance of traveling in my life, and I wanted to share with you today a piece that I wrote last year where I talk about a really impactful trip that we had to Wrightsville Beach, North Carolina in November. So I wrote a little essay I want to share with you, and I'm going to read it now and chat about what that time in North Carolina did for us and our family. In November of 2020, Jamie, Gio, and I took a road trip from Illinois to North Carolina. Since it was the year of COVID, we rented a little beach house, planning to spend our days with solitary walks along the shore. And our nights? Well, we weren't so sure. When we checked into the beach house, I discovered a shelf full of games and puzzles. Besides doing little puzzles with Gio, I had never really been a puzzle person. But the shelf held a box with a 1,000-piecer, and I figured I might take a stab at it that night after we got a glimpse of the ocean. Since the warmth and the sun were so different from the gray Midwest, North Carolina felt like an alternate universe. Upon arriving there, our minds and routines also felt like they were in some altered state. We were exhausted from homeschooling our son while working full-time jobs and being in a constant state of anxiety. We were also sad and terrified for my father, who was undergoing chemo. The pandemic and my father's cancer battle were putting things into perspective, making us talk honestly about our lives. Jamie knew he wanted to switch careers. I was burnt out by the university teaching grind, and we agreed that for us, living in a cold place during the lockdowns made us really second guess if you want to live in a cold climate long term. Everything felt a bit jumbled and uncertain. But what did feel certain was this. Being on Wrightsville Beach made our shoulders loosen from our ears and our smiles return to our faces. I watched Jamie watching the waves, and I saw on my husband's face a joy and awe I had not seen in quite some time. Gio unzipped his hoodie and rolled up the cuffs of his pants, splashing in the surf. I sat cross-legged in the sand, closed my eyes, and breathed in the salty air, feeling tears of release and gratitude build up in my eye creases. My God, did this feel good. After months of claustrophobic restriction, it felt freeing to be on a wide expanse of shoreline with the endless ocean before us. The first night at the beach house, when dusk fell, we ate dinner with the front door open, and the ocean churned faintly in the distance, blowing a cool breeze through the screen. When Jamie and Gio retreated to the couch for crafts and movies, I started the 1,000-piece puzzle. It was a picture of different colored doors with frames of varying materials, stone, brick, wood. When I dumped the pieces onto the table, it was overwhelming. How would I ever form this mess into a picture? Instinctively, I separated the pieces into colored piles and made another mound for those that had distinctive features like door knockers and elaborate hinges. Hours passed as my sole focus remained fixated on the nuances of each piece. It felt nice to concentrate on something without my mind being pulled in a million directions. Even as the clock approached 11 p.m., it was hard to pull away. The next afternoon, we walked the beach, talking about our current state of ambiguity. As we collected seashells and watched the sunset over the pier, we deliberated and dreamed. What did we want from this maddening, magnificent life? What did we want for our future? What did we want for Gio? We didn't know the answers to those questions. All we could talk about was what we didn't want. I didn't want to teach back-to-back university classes with no lunch break. Jamie didn't want to be at the beck and call of a company that didn't value family time. We no longer wanted to suffer six-month winters and gray skies. When we returned from our walk, we ate dinner with the door open again, and I got back to my puzzle. I began the slow process of seeing which pieces paired together and which belonged to other patches of the picture. I tried to force some, but when their little cutouts didn't quite fit, I surrendered and searched for the right ones. When the clock struck 11, I had completed small but satisfying portions of the puzzle. The next day, we went for our usual sunset walk. As Gio chased the sandpipers that scurried along the seafoam, Jamie and I talked about the kind of life that might fit us better. Jobs we loved. Being our own bosses. Flexibility. Freedom. More attention paid to our marriage. To our son. To adventure. To joy. More time in sunnier places. At the end of the walk, we had a little more clarity on which pieces belonged, but we had no idea how they would all fit together. That night, as Jamie prepared dinner in the cottage kitchen, I sat in a rocking chair on the porch and journaled as I listened to the ocean. I reflected on how North Carolina had been calling to us for months. We hadn't known why, but we had decided to go. During our road trip here, we had traveled through Indiana, Kentucky, Tennessee. After traversing the Blue Ridge Mountains, we had ended up at the beach. And now here we were. And this time of looking out at the wide open water was opening us up to new possibilities. Over the course of the week, I connected one puzzle segment to the next, and eventually they became an almost complete larger picture. On checkout day, I still had 50 or so pieces left, the ones with the finest details, hardest to discern. Sure, I would have loved to finish, but it felt immensely satisfying. All those little pieces had become something. On a 70-degree day during our final beach walk before heading back to Illinois, Jamie and I took one last look at the waves and decided that something was clear. We wanted to live life on our own terms. We wanted to stop all the busyness. We wanted to incorporate the tranquility of beach life into our regular lives. Our lives were a 1,000-piece puzzle. And here we were, adding the next segment to our incomplete but beautiful picture. Thanks for listening, friends. So I wanted to read this to you for a variety of reasons. One, I can't believe that was a year ago already. And so it was kind of interesting revisiting the piece after a year has passed, not knowing at the time that I wrote it what would transpire. And I also read it because it was a life-changing trip for us. I'm going to explain why. And thirdly, many of you have been wondering how we are and how things are going and what's been happening. So let's talk about all of it. When Jamie and I talk about Wrightsville Beach, a part of our heart really warms up and opens up because to us, that was the scene of a very clarifying time. That backdrop of the beach was witness to so many important decisions where we were actually and finally truly deciding, here's what we want. Here's what we don't want. Here's what we're no longer going to do. Here's what we want to do. Many times in our lives, we had taken walks and dreamed, but this was different. This was, let's turn our dream into a reality. Let's stop messing around here and spending time on things that we don't want to carry out into the future. Let's stop with all of the things that we fill our lives with that actually don't matter. Let's make our future more purposeful and more meaningful. Let's live in a way that actually feels truer to us. And let's stop talking about it and actually do it. That is what the North Carolina trip represented to us, because it was like in this pressure cooker type moment where we had all of the angst and heartache of the pandemic and my father's cancer battle. And we had watched my father and many other people work so, so hard in their lives and not get to do more of the things that they wanted to do. And Jamie and I had worked really, really hard throughout our lives, juggling 60, 70-hour weeks at times. And that comes at a cost of not being able to put more time into the people you love and the things that you loved. And so we started talking and we realized that, listen, If we want to have our dreams come to fruition, that might mean some sacrifices and downsizing, but we were willing to let those things go so that we could do more of what we love. We were willing to cut out the unnecessary in order to have more of the things in our lives that we wanted. Because of that trip, that's when I really, really understood that I love like this. I love telling my stories. I love leading retreats. I love being in a creative zone with other women writers. That was the trip where I was like, I'm going to do that all the time. And while I loved university teaching, that was the trip that really solidified for me that I was starting to burn out in that field. I was teaching nonstop at the university with no breaks, and the pace felt relentless. And then I was spending some of my time doing my writing coaching, and I wanted that ratio to be the opposite. I actually wanted to spend all my time doing what I do now. So that was the trip where I said to Jamie, I think I'm going to need to make some changes in the future. And I did. So now my time is fully concentrated on teaching and coaching and retreat leading for women writers. The other thing I was starting to explore during that trip in my journal was I want to spend more time focusing on my emotional and spiritual and inner journey. I want to take more classes on meditation. I want to learn new things that I can incorporate into the retreat. Hence my Yoga Nidra certification that I got over the summer. For Jamie, he knew that he wanted to make a shift as well. He had often worked at companies that were good companies, but that would say what most companies say, which is, you know, you can take 1 week off here and maybe a few days off over here, and that was about it. Or they would say, yes, you're working your 8 to 5, but also you have to be on call for this. And it was cutting in to family time. And he is a man that really understands the importance of, yes, working hard, but also being with us. And so he realized that he wanted to make a change. And he did that this year. While doing remote work, he also started envisioning how he wanted to bring in his culinary talents into his professional life. And so he started doing meal prep for families, offering his catering services for private events, and, as you know, catering my retreats. So he has been taking his culinary skills to a new level and doing something that he loves to do. The other change that was made as a result of that trip is that we wanted to do more traveling. Up until that North Carolina trip, we had never taken more than a few days off, ever. And that was the longest trip we had. And we wanted to do more of that and see more of the world, especially because we knew that we could still work remotely. At the time, Gio was learning remotely. So we were like, well, we might as well take advantage. We'll drive everywhere, because at the time we weren't vaccinated yet, and we're like, okay, we'll drive around, we'll go to places, keep to ourselves, explore nature, but do so in a safe way. And so that was the trip that opened us up to the other adventures that we had this past year. So that's when we started putting into the works our summer road trip. We started planning, like, okay, we would love to take our camper somewhere for an extended period of time and be able to see all of the people that we've been missing and revisit our favorite places. And could we do this? Could we actually make it happen? Well, after we got back from North Carolina that winter, when we didn't have much going on nights and weekends, it was in the midst of the pandemic. We're in winter time at that time. There was not much going on. And so we used that free time to plan out our 3-month road trip that we took this summer. And so it really was the beginning of so many things. The seed was planted. But I would say out of all of that, really the biggest takeaway from North Carolina was that we didn't want to wear busy as a badge of pride anymore. I had been praised throughout most of my life for being a productive, efficient person. I'm an extremely hard worker. I get a lot done in a short period of time, but I was always busy. And over the last few years, I had been trying to get away from that more and more, where busy, I found I didn't want busy to be the number one characteristic that described me or the state that I was always in. And I really have to credit that to Shauna Nyquist and her book, Present Over Perfect, which really did change my life, because she talks about this very subject of how we wear busy as a badge of pride. Oh, how are you? Busy, so busy, so busy, busy, busy. I didn't want to say that anymore. That didn't feel interesting anymore. And it actually was hard at first to stop saying, oh, I'm so busy, or to wear it as this thing of like, oh, look at me, I'm so busy all the time. I didn't want to feel pride in that anymore. I wanted to feel pride in saying, I'm working hard and I'm making time for my marriage. I'm making time for my son. I'm making time for the people who matter. I'm making time for me. I'm making time for my creativity. That's what I wanted to start saying to people when they asked how I was doing. It doesn't mean I'm completely cured. I will still say like, oh, so busy. I always have a tendency to overbook, but I am very, very conscious of scaling back. And what happened in North Carolina is that it was the first time since Jamie and I met 15 years ago that we had coffee together on a weekday. Like, we each took a break from what we were doing, and Gio was remote schooling. And every day at 10 o'clock, we sat on the little porch, looked out, the ocean was in the distance. And we had coffee every morning for an hour at least. And we sat and we breathed. We held hands sitting there. We talked. We dreamed. We got to connect in a way that we hadn't in a long time, because we slowed down. And we had always been trying to make time for connection, but usually connection happened on weeknights or on the weekend, because we were always working, working, working. So we never really had a chance to look at each other, stop, pause, have coffee. We were always eating our breakfasts on the go, in the car, commuting. And that was the first time we actually got to pause, have coffee every day, go for beach walks every day. And we could see it in Gio too, that he was so happy to not have a million things to do. Our goal was just to walk on the beach and look for shells and laugh together. That was it. That was the turning point for us, where we started going, we need more of this in our real lives. We don't want this to just be vacation life. We want this to be a regular daily savoring. Could we eat together more often? Could we go for walks together more often? Could we connect more often? Could we stop hustling all the time? Could we just ease off of that, get off of that hamster wheel. It's not easy to do. I will listen to other people talk about how busy they are, and it will literally make me go, I should sign Gio up for another class. We should have much more of a social calendar. We should be working extra hours. When I see people on social media, oh, look at what they're doing. There is always an opportunity to be busier. But then I find that the key indicator is that when something starts suffering, the busyness is no longer helping. So if my emotional or mental state is affected by the busyness, if Jamie and I aren't connecting very much, if Gio isn't getting enough of our attention, then what good is the busyness doing? It's always at the expense of something else. Shauna Nyquist says this. I've said it a million times. I'll say it again. But when you say yes to something else, you are inherently saying no to something important. So is that yes worth it? Is that other yes worth it? So that was the trip. We kind of drew a line in the sand and we were like, here is what we will and will not do anymore. This is what we want our future to look like. So many of you may be wondering, how are things, right? So we sold our house in May. We went on a road trip. We had hoped to relocate somewhere warmer. That didn't work out in time and needed to be postponed. And we're in the pause right now. So it was so interesting reading this piece that I just read to you, because it does feel like we have like 50 more puzzle pieces out there. Meaning like we have a large part of the picture that we were envisioning last year. We have a large part of that that has come to fruition. But this, how to spend some time in a sunnier place, well, we're still figuring that out. So currently we're in Illinois, trying to still think about what we want for a destination. In the meantime, we have planned some trips to get through the winter. So we will be once again hopping into our car and driving and visiting some sunshiny places in order to kind of work through the winter time, which is always not only hard for me. I just literally, before I recorded this podcast, had a conversation with Jamie. It's hard for him too. Like many people, it might be difficult to deal with the time change and the longer nights, as well as cold at the same time, as well as still dealing with not feeling fully okay to be out completely in the world, you know, eating inside restaurants that are jam-packed, things like that. So we're still in that place of like, how do we get through winter times, especially when we don't feel fully comfortable being out and about in big crowds indoors? Hence some sunny trips that we'll be doing. So that's the update on where we're at and what's going on. But in the meantime, so much goodness has happened. We just led our retreat. That was such a joy. I have gotten to focus on this community, teaching and coaching and podcasting, and I am so full of joy. I do not miss commuting. And while I loved teaching university classes, I also am very appreciative that I get to, on my own, teach what I want and to be able to foster women's writing careers. That's the update, my friends. We're also really happy for Gio, who is in a wonderful school, who is supporting his ADHD. We've seen such growth in him, being able to regulate his emotions, which used to be really hard for him when he would get frustrated. He didn't know what to do. And his teacher and the social worker at school have been incredible helping him have coping strategies and having in-person school situation and being with friends. So that's what's been going on. That's the latest update. I will let you know if another piece of the puzzle comes into place. But I do have to say that I don't know that I ever want the puzzle to be fully complete, right? I'm someone who loves novelty, who loves growth and change, who loves new experiences and adventure. So there's a part of me that doesn't want to have the 100% plan all the time. And in fact, I have been taught by life time and time again that really I'm not in as much control as I thought. There are many things I do have control over, but you know, infertility and then our relocation that didn't go according to plan has taught me to also just be open to new possibilities that I didn't even think of. I can plan away, but some of the greatest things that have happened in my life had never been part of the plan, and I'm going to remain open to that. So let me guide you through a very short meditation that's going to focus on you and creating clarity. So I'll be asking you some of the questions that we were asking ourselves last November when we were at Wrightsville Beach. Wherever you're at, go ahead and just take a breath. If you're walking, you can allow for this time to maybe bring you into a slower pace, slower, more purposeful steps. If you're sitting, you might close your eyes. If you have a journal nearby, you can grab a pen. And let's breathe. Oftentimes, we don't give ourselves the space to sit and ask, what do I really want? What do I yearn for this life to look like? So that's what I'm going to ask you now as you breathe in and out. When I ask you these questions, just allow for whatever images might come to mind. Glennon Doyle asks this question: what is the truest, most beautiful version of your life that you can imagine? What is the truest, most beautiful story of your life that you can imagine? What do you see when you see that life in your mind? Where are you? What kinds of spaces do you want to be in more? Maybe there are a few different areas. You'd love to be in that city more, or by that ocean more, or you want to see a place you've never even been. What's calling you? See that in your mind. Who are you with? Who are you wanting to spend more quality time with? Who are the friends, family members, coworkers, creative partners that you want to be around more. See those interactions in your brain. What do you want to be doing with those people? Laughing? Having fun? Talking? And what do you want to be making? What do you want to put out in the world? What stories? What paintings? What knitted mittens? What food? What photographs? What beauty do you want to put out in the world? What is calling you? Feel the pull, the yearning, and trust it. How do you want to be spending your time? What activities do you want to do more of? Physically, what do you want to do with your body? Dance, walk, swim. Emotionally, how do you want to tend to yourself? More quiet time? Bringing yourself on a date to an art museum? What is the impact you want to make on this world? And ultimately, who is the person you want to be? Who is the person you already are deep inside? And you're just trying to peel away the layers to let that person reemerge. And with that comes the clarifying question. Then what can you let go of to make space for all of this beauty? What is no longer serving you? What places, professions, people? Might be taking up some of your time and you want those things to take up less time so that you can concentrate on the places and professions and people that you care about most deeply. And now let's ask ourselves one final question, which is, what is one tiny step you can take today, tomorrow, next week, this winter, in order to make that dream a reality? What is one puzzle piece you can fit into place? Take a deep breath. When you're ready, open your eyes. Thank you, thank you, thank you for listening, for coming back week after week to this podcast. I am so grateful for you. And I want to know what you're grateful for. So leave a voice memo in my DMs on Instagram at Nadine Kenny Johnstone, or you can comment on one of my posts and let me know what it is that you are grateful for this year. And because I'm so grateful for all of you, remember that I'm offering my best discounts of the year. You can go over to my website, nadinekennyjohnstone.com, put your email address in to download the holiday guide, which has all the sale codes and discounts and all that good stuff. It is my thank you to you. I want to also thank Michelle Rado, incredible producer, whom I am so grateful for. Remember, everyone, every heart has a story, and every story has a heart. See you next week.